I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep because I'd miss you, John Mariano, and I don't want to miss a thing. Welcome to Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by John Mariano. How you doing, John?
I'm doing dandy. Wait, you would miss me if you close your eyes, because when I close my eyes, I see you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. Oh,
I dream in horror movies.
I get you. No, I hear you. Speaking of horror movies, let's throw it over to the sexiest man in podcasting, the one and only Scott Haskin. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good. Speaking of horror movies, I'm excited that the girls from the Talk Scary podcast will be in town this weekend, and I'm looking forward to going down and meeting them and watching a live broadcast of their show.
Oh, that sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Should be.
All right. Well, you know what I did last week for those folks who were kind enough to listen to us last week. We spun one of my tracks, Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu, which found its way onto John Mariano's Nasty Cuts portion of the mixtape. I forgot to put a new track on. So that's totally on me. So right off the hop here, I'm going to fill out our dice with a sixth track. And I've had a very, very long day. It was my kid's sixth grade graduation today. I had to eat outside where the bugs are. I didn't like that. And then at work, I just had nothing but technical issues. So I need a little comfort food. I need a little Aerosmith comfort food. I'm going back to Classics Live 2 and Let the Music Do the Talking. Man, I really hope we roll that one tonight.
I'd be good with that. Do you guys get a lot of mosquitoes up in your area?
Oh, gosh, yes. They're everywhere, and they're the size of birds. Terrible, terrible.
I believe the pronunciation is mosquitoes. And on top of that, Corey, you didn't forget anything last week. I don't know if you realize this, but I put a curse on the show. And by me putting a curse on the show, I didn't actually put a curse on the show. I have visited several curse goers, if you will. And I have had them each put a pox on the show until the movie comes off. So we will probably continue to make mistakes, and I blame that particular song and its existence on the mixtape for errors that will be coming to us.
Well, that explains why I did a shit job reading the Deep Dive Podcast Network last week then too.
Well, guess what? You got a second opportunity at it. Why don't you give it a roll right now?
Well, we've got a great variety of shows. Aside from this show, you two do a show called Backtracks Theme Music. Corey, you do a show with our friend Mark Kammeyer called And the Podcast Will Rock. I have my Uriah Heep, The Magician's Podcast, which will be offline through the month of July, returning in August, available on a new server. So if you guys are linked anywhere to that show on your podcast player, the link may change. Nate and John do a great show called the Deep Purple Podcast. We have the Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley has his show, T-Bone's Prime Cuts, on the other side. We have Riot Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at the In the Lap of the Pods Podcast. We have Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel, Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. We have Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie do a show called the Judas Priest Cast. Clay and Rye do North by South Podcast. Greg and Jonathan have So Far, So Pod, So What. We have Kevin at the Tom Petty Project, and Kevin has another show with his buddy Randy, the Seaside Pod Review, and Randy is quite the audio engineer, too. We have Quinn at And Volume for All, which are all things general heavy metal, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, and of course, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu. But that's not all. We've got our friends Sean Geek and Fast Brett, who Kevin was just on their show this week. I haven't had a chance to listen to that, but that should be good. And of course, Eric at Booked on Rock.
Excellent job, Mr. Haskin.
Thank you.
Speaking of, housekeeping, John Mariano's got to tell us all about a good friend of ours by the name of Ken Napsok. As soon as he unmutes his mic.
How dare you call me out for that? See, I told you.
I told you.
Look.
You would have sat there.
that the show is cursed, right? It's not my fault, right? When does that ever happen that I'm muted? Why would I mute myself? That doesn't even make sense.
The curse is real, folks.
Let me get back to Ken.
Okay.
So if you're not familiar with Ken Napzok, Ken Napzok hosts a bunch of shows on the Napzok Network. You can find this on any of your podcast feeds. The main show on there right now is The Blathering, where it's Ken's thoughts from his mind and his heart. You can also catch him on Mixcloud. If you download the Mixcloud app, you can find him on Pop, Rock, and Radio. He hosts it and DJs a show there every Saturday night. And occasionally he'll drop some surprises on there throughout the week. Also, if you're in the Burbank area and you get a chance, you can see Ken live. He's been doing shows at Flappers. If you follow Ken on social media, you can, just look up Ken Napzok. You can follow him on Instagram. He posts when he's playing Flappers, and you can see his stand-up set. He's a phenomenal stand-up comedian. We support Ken and all his efforts across everything, including Four Center with Joseph Scrimshaw and Jennifer Landa. So go support Ken.
Yes, please do. And I know Four Center started doing some Indiana Jones content with the upcoming Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny coming out this Friday as we're recording. This will be a few weeks after the movie's release. So I'm hoping it's a big hit because I'm a big Indiana Jones fan.
So Disney doesn't need our help though, Corey.
I know. But I feel they may actually because, films like The Flash are underperforming. Pixar is underperforming. We really need another big hit. I'm opening a movie theater in a couple of years. I need big movies in the movie theater to draw crowds.
I have a big movie for you.
What's that?
Wolf Cop.
Wolf Cop would be great. Wolf Cop 3 would be even better.
If you guys really need a gimmick, you should really do, like we used to do Rocky Horror Picture Show Saturday nights at midnight showings here. You should do Wolf Cop midnight showings at your theater.
Oh it's going to happen 100%. And actually, because you brought it up, I may be in Lowell Dean's new movie. I went up and I was an extra, potentially, in his new film called Die Alone, which stars Carrie Ann Moss and Frank Grillo, which should be out sometime 2024.
So I saw an interview once with Nathan Hamill, and there's a trick that he learned from his father to not get cut out of a movie. Make sure that your extra time is featured in a scene where the faces of the stars are shown. Was it?
No.
You're at risk. You're at risk, Corey.
In the B-roll afterwards, there's plenty of FaceTime, but it's actually them pushing their way through a crowd, the stars, and it's shot from behind them as they're pushing their way through a crowd towards a hospital. So you may see the back of my head. Hopefully some of my B-roll shots make it in, but yeah, I just had a lot of fun going up and being an official extra in a movie. My IMDb is going to be all the classier now because of it.
Oh, I cannot wait to just go spam your page with views.
One star reviews. This guy's horrible.
Oh no, not reviews, just views. I'm not gonna write anything. It's too much work.
That would take work. Speaking of work.
Maybe you can entice Lowell and say, we've got 2 years till this theater is gonna open. Plenty of time for you to shoot Wolf Cop 3 and do a big premiere at our grand opening.
That's more than enough.
That'd be an incentive, yeah.
Yeah, his shoot schedule is only like 3 weeks. So he can knock out a Wolf Cop in no time.
Oh, there you go. Well, then next October, maybe pitch that.
Not a bad idea. I'm going to do that. But before that happens, we got to talk a little Aerosmith. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Aerosmith's new, air quotes, 44-track greatest hits ripoff that they're going to be putting out. I saw a tweet from Mitch LaFon. And he tweeted, what is going to be on the Japan-only version? They're getting three extra discs of the CD version. And it's three live discs, and they sound phenomenal. So from a 1977 show, they're including Mamakin, SOS Too Bad, Adam's Apple, and Walk This Way. From 89, which would have been the Pump Tour, Monkey on My Back, F-I-N-E Fine, Magic Touch, and Hangman Jury all live. From 93, which would have been Get a Grip, What It Takes, Cry, and Draw the Line, and Sweet Emotion. From 2003, Love in an Elevator, Pink, Nobody's Fault, and Jaded. And then from 2016, Crazy, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Eat the Rich, and a medley of You See Me Crying, Home Tonight, and Dream On. Like, oh, fuck, wow. Give me that. I would buy that 10 times out of 10. Like, why are we getting this in North America?
I can tell you why we're not getting this in North America. Partially because of the curse, but more importantly, right? We promised to do all of the new releases and cover them on the show. Aerosmith is mercifully setting us up to not have to do more episodes.
Well, this is being officially released. Do we have to do it? Even though they're not being released in
Japan, that doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
What if I accidentally get a hold of these tracks by ordering the Japan only release?
Canada also doesn't count.
What if Scott does it? He lives in America.
I have to wonder though, are Japan only releases that big of a deal anymore since we have the ability to kind of get things from anywhere? I mean, in the 70s, that was a really big deal, and Japan always required some special bonus track for their release. But it seems like maybe that isn't such an unobtainable thing nowadays.
It depends. Like, I know a couple of years ago, I was trying to get a hold of the Captain Chaos costume that Dom DeLuise wears. And there was an officially licensed version in the UK only.
Mm-hmm.
And they would not ship to the States because it was not permitted. So if it's a situation like that, or if they tax the hell out of it, or if they charge you like shitty shipping, like all of that stuff matters, right? Because as fun as these tracks are, nobody's paying for shitty shipping just to get them.
Yeah. Right? And I mean, even if you use a website like Discogs, which I love, they can restrict sales to certain countries or certain territories based on, you know, maybe what the record company is allowing, or if it's a bootleg or something like that. So that might not even be a possibility. That's interesting. It just doesn't seem like it's quite the hurdle it was back in the 70s, but I mean, it's still going to be a limited quantity.
Well, even in the 80s and 90s too, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but they do the Japan only releases to bootlegging is very bad in Japan, right?
Yeah.
So they needed a reason for the Japanese public to buy releases, and these Japan only tracks were the way to do it. So, like you said, with the advent of the internet, is it such a big deal anymore?
Well, yeah. It is, because if you want the discs, they can be a pain in the ass to get at best. And it's worse than the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, because now you know about the thing. Before, we didn't know about the thing. Like, we might hear rumors or something. Now you know the thing exists and you can't get it, which is more of an asshole thing to do.
Yeah, and because it's so easy to research, you're a savvy eBay seller or somebody that might get a hold of some copies to sell across the pond is certainly going to make you pay for that.
Yeah, exactly. But after seeing that track listing, and there's a third disc too, that's just listed as Live in Japan 2011. I don't know what the track listing is off there, but they're getting three bonus live discs on their CD set, which great for them, kind of shitty for the rest of us, because I would love to hear, you know, another live version of Hangman Jury or Magic Touch or
You See Me Crying.
Yeah, Nobody's Fault. That's a good one.
I wonder what the price difference is on that, though.
Yeah,
you know, what they got to pony up for all that.
And will they? That's the big thing. That was, of course, the discussion last week. Is anyone going to buy this set? Well, I tell you what, if these discs were on there, I'd be buying them for sure. Yeah. But what do you say, boys? We've talked enough about the upcoming Greatest Hits set. What do you say we chat about a song? I've already tipped my hand. I want to hear a little Let the Music Do the Talking. John, what are you in the mood for tonight?
Oh, I want to hear Last Child.
Okay, that's a gooder from Live Bootleg. How about you, Scott?
Well, I believe Let the Music Do the Talking was one of the first songs that you guys covered in the early days of the show. And I didn't, I marked down that I didn't really care for that version. So I'd be curious to see if I like a different version. So I'll vote for that.
Excellent. I'm hoping we roll it. Let's throw it over to Mr. Tyler.
Toss of the
Oh, and John Mariano calls a shot. We're getting Last Child from Live Bootleg. John, why'd you want to hear that one today?
I really like this song, and I like the live version a lot. So I was like looking at the songs that were there, and I just tried to pick a song that I like.
Last Child is a Brad Whitford joint from Rocks. He plays the lead on this one, so we're going to hear a little Brad Whitford on this. Scott, you put this on the mixtape, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. We didn't really have a lot of live stuff on there, so I thought I needed to balance it out with another live track. I'm not familiar with this one. I don't recall ever hearing it, at least not by name. I guess we'll find when we start listening.
All right, so let's go all the way back to Live Bootleg, and this is Last Child. Scott, you look perplexed.
I mean, is he teething? What's going on with his voice there?
Not a lot of post-production done on this album. Yeah, this is a very, very raw Aerosmith live record. As you can tell from them just kind of noodling around before they went into it. And whatever kind of noises Stephen was making there.
Is this the opening of the show? Are they testing mics? Like, this doesn't really sound like a song starting so far.
It is. It is a screechy choice that he made to change the sound a little bit for the song. So even on the studio album, he does this weird screechy thing at the top of the song that he was trying. And being that he doesn't try it much after this, it feels like it was a one and done choice. Mm-hmm. But once you make that commitment, it's, do you change the song or do you just try to attempt to recreate it? At this point when they were doing it, he was definitely trying to recreate what he did in the studio.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I just wasn't sure if this was like a warm up or a mic test, because it feels very odd so far.
In later shows, he would take that a little more melodically and say it kind of in his normal voice that I'm dreaming tonight, I'm living back at home, that kind of thing. But yeah, here he's doing it very screechy. And I thought I heard some of the hiss that Joe Perry talked about. When he talked about this album, he said a couple of tracks were recorded off air onto a cassette and had hiss all over it. So I was wondering if this was maybe one of them. This was recorded at the Paradise Club in Boston, August 9th, 1978.
I wasn't sure. I wouldn't have guessed cassette. I would have thought a reel to reel. But I'm definitely hearing some of that lovely analog hiss in there as well.
All right, let's keep it going. What's a sassafrasy? Does anybody know?
I don't think that's a thing.
No. It's a good rhyme for Tallahassee.
I'm actually reading it in the song. So it's down cross the bridge to my sweet sassafrasy. Right?
Yep.
And I know Foghorn Leghorn, who was a very famous comedian.
Rooster.
comedian of, I think, the 40s, maybe? 30s, 40s, and 50s fame. But Foghorn and Leghorn would say things like sassafras, or maybe it was his buddy Sylvester. He was a cool cat. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. But one of them would say things like sassafrasy.
In all fairness, I mean, rhyming Tallahassee is probably not the easiest thing to do in the world. So you almost have to either make up a word or a form of a word to get that to work, or just don't put Tallahassee at the end of the line that you need to rhyme.
There's only so many cities, though, Scott. Like, you got to mix it up every once in a while, right?
That's true. I will say I love the bass guitar sound on this. That's seriously a sweet bass sound.
Really is. And I love that groove too, that just damn, 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 damn. Like that was always some good shit. I looked it up here on definitions.net. Sassafrasy is a very high spirited, energy young woman, not always the smartest though.
But it's his sweet sassafrasy. He down crossed the bridge
to his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
To his sweet girl who maybe isn't that smart, but she's energetic.
Okay. So Kelly Bundy.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Yeah. Can't stand up on my feet in the city. Gotta get back to the real nitty gritty. Yes, I know, sir. Don't come close to my home. Sweet home. Can't catch no breeze from my hot. Yeah, boom, tank, sweet hot sweater than me. Now, that is some prose there, folks. Yes, sir. No, sir. Don't come close to my home, sweet home. Can't catch no dose of my hot tail poontang sweetheart. Sweat hog ready to make a silk purse from a J. Paul Getty in his ear with her face in her beer.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
really? Okay, so let's break this down.
Let's break it down.
So where do we want to start? We know what home sweet home means, right?
Yeah.
Can't catch no dose.
Okay, of my hot tail poontang sweetheart. Poontang means vagina, or for the layman, a pussy, right? So sweat hog ready to make a silk purse, which is another euphemism for a vagina.
So sweat hog ready to make a silk purse? What is he getting at there?
His sweat hog is his dick.
Okay. And he's ready to make a silk purse?
Enter.
Okay. Okay.
Right? From a J. Paul Getty to his ear. Isn't that a euphemism? I'm not. But is J. Paul Getty like a guitar maker or something? Some kind of instrument?
No idea.
J. Paul Getty was an industrialist. American-born British petroleum industrialist who founded the Getty Oil Company in 1942 and was the patriarch of the Getty family.
So I guess some oil, some of her vagina oil in his ear.
But even before that, in the previous section, he's talking about he's crossing the bridge to get to this woman, and then he's saying he can't catch a dose of her.
Right. She's basically turning him down, and he wants to stick his sweet sweat hog into her silk purse. And she's basically saying no. It's about a guy getting rejected right now.
The lyrics are based on the life of the band at the time and all the time they spent on the road. Part of it deals with the time on tour just before the band would come home. Some members of the band and crew had wives and girlfriends, so when a tour was coming to a close, they would refrain from sex, except oral, of course, as a courtesy. They didn't want to bring a social disease home with them. Well, that's just classy.
Oh, wow. That's love.
Yeah, because social disease doesn't exist in your mouth.
Yeah, I guess. Especially back then, apparently.
I once listened to some other band, and they gave me some advice that life is a social disease.
Oh. It was a New Jersey band, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. We may have to talk about them sometime. Okay, so get on the field, put the mule in the stable. I think I understood that. That's also a penis vagina reference, I believe. Ma, she's a cookin', put the eats on the table. John, help me out.
It's getting moist down there. Go make a meal.
Okay.
Scott looks perplexed again.
I don't know. So
when you warm a lady up, she gets moist. And he's saying, to Corey's point about, I'm not going to stick my sweat hog in her, or I'm not going to put the mule in the stable. Instead, I'm going to go down there and make a meal.
See, and what I get out of that is, if you're not going to give it to me, I'm going to go fuck a sheep while you make dinner.
You came from a very different childhood, Scott, than John and I. Yeah. I don't know how they did things in Detroit, but we didn't do that up here.
It was extreme.
What I'm saying is, it's warm and moist, and it's time to go dine. That's what he's saying there.
Gotcha. Thank you, John. I will say on this version, Stevens maybe not at the top of his game, but I think the band is.
Yeah, they're playing pretty tight.
No, the band's absolutely, it's a shame, you know, and I'm blaming it as a choice. Like, I don't think Stevens really not on top of his game. I think he made a choice, and once he made that choice at the top of the song, he's kind of pigeonholed into that. I think he has better live versions of this that we're going to get to hear later on. Like you said, he does tighten it up. I hope the band on those versions is as tight as they are here.
What do you think of those drums, Scott? I know there was one part, I think, going into the second verse where Joey just seemingly out of boredom just started doing a little hat lift and you know, just kind of came off beat a little bit just to kind of mix it up a little bit. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not quite a shuffle, but it has a slight shuffle feel to it. I think he probably is bored because this isn't really a song that needs him to do much of anything. It's a little too simple for a drummer. It's like, all right, I'm just going to be the metronome, and at some point I'm going to have enough of just being the metronome and I got to do something. But but what I do like is the groove between the guitar and the bass. I like that sound. What they're playing really works together, but musically it's not a very interesting song.
And it was written actually by Brad Whitford, who played the riff for the band one day, and Steven just jumped up and yelled, "I love it." Then he jumped on the kit and started playing the drums to it. And he plays very different from Joey with a more jazzy approach. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was just trying to replicate that little, little jazz touch to it.
Could be. Yeah.
All right, Last Child from Live Bootleg, one of Aerosmith's most famous grooves, I think, and certainly one of Brad Whitford's. I know Last Child is still a standout in their live set today, in that Steven Tyler would always kind of call out something like, what you got up your sleeve, Brad Whitford, or something, and then he would, you know, start playing the main riff to Last Child. That one was always kind of attributed to him. John Mariano, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on Last Child from Live Bootleg?
I dig this song. I really do enjoy the song. This is not my favorite version of it for all of the reasons why we discussed listening to it. I think, you make creative choices and sometimes you take big swings and not every big swing is going to make it. It's a shame because the band sounds the way the band sounds that if this was Steven a few years later, I think you get a much different sound out of him. I really wish it lined up with where the band is at this point, because I love the lyrics. I love the riff. I love the drums. I love everything going on except for Steven in this song.
Gotcha. Scott Haskin, what do you think? You're also muted.
The curse continues.
I was typing on my spreadsheet and I didn't want to have the key clicks get on there for you to edit out. I don't think it's an interesting song musically. I think lyrically it's just a little too abstract for me. I didn't care for this at all.
All right, so that's two no's for Last Child going on the mixtape.
For this version, yes.
Yes. I would have been in agreement. I like Last Child quite a bit, actually, as just a straight ahead groove. And there's better versions of it out there is kind of the big thing. And I actually think the version on Little South of Sanity, from what I remember, was pretty good. So I'll have to cover that one at some point. The band was cooking here. Steven wasn't at his best. Just to recap what we have on side B of the live tracks, we have Sweet Emotion, Monkey on My Back, What It Takes, Lord of the Thighs, Toys in the Attic, Kings and Queens, Train Kept a Rollin', Dream On, and Sight for Sore Eyes. And I like my two compatriots, would not take any of those off. for this version of Last Child. However, I think there may be a version out there that we may have to have a conversation about, even though Scott wasn't a big fan. Hopefully we find a version, maybe Scott, that gives you a true representation of what this song could be, because the band was very good in this one, Steven, not so much. There are better versions out there. So with that, we got a couple of pieces of business to take care of. First off is, how many times has Aerosmith performed Last Child? I'll give you a hint. It's a lot, because this is kind of the Brad Whitford song. Scott Haskin, let's start with you. How many times do you think Aerosmith performed Last Child?
I'm going to go with 173.
173. All right, John Mariano, your turn. How many times do you think Aerosmith performed Last Child?
492.
492. You're both well under. The correct answer is 802 times.
Wow.
Remember, since like 1976 to 2020, which is the last time they played it, Aerosmith has performed Last Child quite a bit. So I
was willing to go as high as 600, but when I heard Scott's number, I pulled it back to a slightly more conservative number.
And you were still just over half.
Yeah. Like I said, I was willing to go as high as six. I didn't know. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, right. That really is.
Now, piece of business number two is, Scott Haskin, you have to replace Live Child. Holy cow. Last Child from Live Bootleg on the dice. So are you thinking another live track? Are you thinking a deep cut? Are you thinking a big hit? What you thinking, Scott?
I'm thinking another live track, because we only have one other one on the disc, and we've got so many the dice. We have so many live songs to cover. I'm going to go back to Classics Live 2 and select Draw the Line.
Very good. One of Aerosmith's all-time classics, Draw the Line from Classics Live 2. That is going to be a fun one. I kind of like keeping at least two live cuts on the dice for that very reason. So good job, Scott. I'm definitely in favor of that one. Have we covered any version of Draw the Line right now? I think maybe we have.
I don't think so.
I don't think we have yet.
Nope, it doesn't look like it.
Or might be our very first crack at Draw the Line. Very much looking forward to that one. But it's going to have to wait until at least next week. John Mariano, what you got coming up that you want to promote or plug or let the people know about?
Nope. Good.
Perfect. Scott, how about you? Have you written any books lately?
I have not. I've released a couple of soundtracks on my Bandcamp page, but this summer is mostly going to be doing music reviews through July on the HaskinCast podcast, a lot of them for Cherry Red Records. And then, like I said, the Magicians podcast is going to be offline in July. And then in August, the HaskinCast podcast goes offline while I move that. But I basically have to relink around 750 shows between the two podcasts and multiple between the website and different social media things. So it's going to be a lot of linking over the summer. And I won't be producing a whole lot of new stuff during that time.
Gotcha. You will be helping Kevin Brown and I with a little podcast project that we're currently cooking up. Not ready to announce, but I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And we just couldn't do it without a little Scott Haskin love on there as well. But you'll have to wait for that one, just like you'll have to wait for next week and possibly Draw the Line, Home Tonight, Nine Lives, Out of Your Head, Roadrunner, or Let the Music Do the Talking. All are great songs. I can't wait to cover those. But until then, on behalf of John Mariano and Scott Haskin, my name is Corey Morrissey. Thank you very much for listening. And as always, let's give the final word to Steven Tyler.